God tells you about baptism, it's just going to rejuvenate your faith. It's going to make you so glad that you followed Jesus when you got baptized in water. And so Chris and I became Christians when we were 20 years of age. We were both uni students and at a church in Brisbane called Christian Outreach Center. And it's part of the movement that we're in now, right now. It's changed its name to International Network of Churches. And so it was like the main church that started everything off. So we came along to that church, and I gave my heart to Jesus in about the 20th of May, 19-something or other. And so I gave my heart to Jesus, and about 6 weeks later, I got baptized in water. And they had a stage not unlike this, and a big tank was actually built into the stage, and so they filled it up. And I got baptized in water. And I can remember as I got baptized in water that day, and I went down into the water and came back up again. All the pastors were around me. They were praying for me. And there was just this great sense of life just came into me, in a sense of, I am following Jesus. And everybody was around me. The whole church was there. It's like a Wednesday night meeting at church, and there was, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 people around. And they all began to cheer and clap and shout and pray and love God and just rejoicing as I came through the waters of baptism. And it was at that moment, actually, that Chris was watching and she decided, I'm going to give my heart to Christ. So there's such an impact for her to see me get baptized in water. And you know, when you get baptized in water, it is the best time ever to invite all your friends, all your workmates, all your enemies, your neighbors, everybody. Bring the whole world to come and watch you get baptized. It's a life-changing experience, not only for you, but for people who are watching you. It's one of those important moments in your life. It's like birth, marriage, give your heart to Christ, baptism. Amen. All these things are really great opportunities and moments in your life. As I was in the tank, I was praying, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Mm. And I came out of the baptism tank just slightly disappointed that I didn't speak in other tongues, because everybody else seemed to be able to do it but me. But at any rate, after that experience, I began to pray, God, I really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come and just take over my life, Holy Spirit, and fill me up to overflowing. And so for 3 weeks, I was praying this prayer, and I just got more and more thirsty, more and more hungry, more and more desperate. God, I want this gift. I tried speaking in tongues. I could not do it. And I thought, there must be something I'm not doing right or whatever. Anyway, we at church another Wednesday night, 3 weeks later, and the congregation were invited to come forward and fill the altar space. And they just said, let's just praise God. And we began to worship God. People were singing and shouting and praying and raising their hands. And I'm standing there with all these people around me. It was actually a very, very noisy moment. And as they were all praising God, and I'm praying like this, God, if you don't fill me with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to die. That's how hungry I was. And all of a sudden, this raging, roaring river just flooded up out of my spirit and out of my mouth. All this language poured out of my mouth that I could not do before. For me, it was a miracle. I tried so hard, nothing happened. But at this moment, something supernatural happened to me. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I turned to someone, I said, I just spoke in tongues. And they go, yeah, so what? Because everybody was. But for me, it was my first time. And for me, it was so wonderful. And since that time, whenever I pray in other tongues, the language, sometimes it changes and sounds different. And it's something that you can articulate and speak out. But it's a language directly from your heart to God. God understands what you're saying. And when you pray in other tongues, you're praying with the Holy Spirit helping you. If you've never received it, please come and see us. We'd love to pray for you and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to read in the scriptures today about Jesus getting baptized in water. So if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 13, and it's in the Amplified Bible. So it will be on your screen up there, so you can look up there if you need to. So we're in chapter 3, and we're starting at verse 13. It says this: Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. So this is very early in Jesus' ministry. In fact, it's the beginning of his ministry. And he was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth, and he's come from there, and he comes down. He's actually 30 years of age, and he comes to the River Jordan, and already John the Baptist, who is his cousin, has already heard about Jesus is going to come. And earlier in chapter 3, John the Baptist is preaching and he's saying, there is one mightier than me that's coming. And I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he will lay the axe to the root, and all that are not right will be cast into the fire. And he began to preach the beginnings of the gospel to the people around him. But at any rate, here he is in the River Jordan. It says, John protested strenuously, having a mind to prevent him, saying, it is I who need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus replied to him, permit it just now, for this is fitting the way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to conform completely to whatever is right. And he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he, that's John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight. In this amazing scene that we're looking at here, Jesus walks down to the River Jordan. He's actually on his own. He hasn't got disciples yet. And as he's starting to come down the side of the river, Jordan, then you can go to this exact spot if you visit Israel. And John looks at him and he goes, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was clothed with revelation. He knew who Jesus was just by looking at him. Imagine if you could look at somebody walking down the street and you say, hey, you're a Christian. How you going? That'd be good, wouldn't it? John the Baptist knew exactly who he was, coming to be baptized. And John was baptizing people before that time, and he was baptizing them for the remission of their sins. In other words, he was saying to them, hey, straighten up your lives. There's one coming. He's the Messiah, and you need to get ready for him. So start working on your life. Get things together. You've been going the wrong way. Come on. It's time to return to God, to get your hearts right, and to be able to listen to the voice of the Messiah. He was one, the Bible says in Isaiah, a voice in the wilderness, a voice in the desert. Make straight the paths of the Lord. And so here's John the Baptist preaching, but when he sees Jesus, he sees him as who he is, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. When he says Lamb of God, that terminology is full with about 10 years of preaching right there. He's talking about the Exodus and the blood on the door and the lamb that was sacrificed, which is all speaking about Jesus, who is now our Lamb. And it's all, to every Jewish person there, they would have been going zoom, zoom, zoom. Man, their minds have been going crazy. Wow, the Lamb of God. Yes, Exodus, this. The Passover. Yes, is this the one, the Messiah? Wow, they'd all be listening to John the Baptist, fascinated with what was happening. But this was a problem for John, because he's saying, can you please baptize me? Because I'm just born a sinner like everybody else. And Jesus goes, no, you baptize me. He's God. We do what he says, don't we? We do what he says. You see, Jesus got baptized in water so that he could set a pattern for us to follow. He didn't need to be remitted of sins. No way. He'd never sinned ever once in his whole life. He came to the Jordan River to be baptized in water, not for the remission of sins, but to be the initiation of his ministry life. And to set a pattern for you and I to follow. Why should we get baptized in water? It is to follow Jesus. Amen? Yeah. We want to follow him. Do what he did. Say what he says. Live how he lives. Amen. He made a way for us. He set the pattern. He said, boys, this is the way to go. Walk in this way. And so Jesus got baptized in water. And also, right at that baptism was when the Holy Spirit came upon him. You see, Jesus was always in existence in heaven, but God made him incarnate in the womb of Virgin Mary and gave him a body. And that body grew up as a man would grow up, but with the Spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside, the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of God, grew up as a man. But he is still, although he's 100% God, 100% man, he has divested himself of omniscience, omnipresence, all these things. He is operating as a man. Now the Holy Spirit comes on him to equip him and empower him and flow over his life. Now, when Jesus knows the hearts of men, it's because the Holy Spirit's bringing him understanding and revelation, not because he's omniscient at that moment. So Jesus is now filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? He now begins his ministry. This really is pressing the go button for Jesus. Water baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, is pressing the go button. So what does baptism mean? What is it for? Well, John the Baptist baptized people. He called them to repent, to confess their sins and heartily amend their ways. He called them to make a new start and to walk in righteousness, to leave the past behind. It was a picture of washing away of the old life and the beginning of a new life. But that was John's baptism. Later on, after Jesus is crucified, buried, and raised to life, then there is a new added meaning to baptism, whereby we are following the Lord and we are putting to death the old life and burying the old life in the waters of baptism and rising up out of the water to newness of life, now living a new resurrected life for Christ. So water baptism takes on a whole new meaning. For each of us, water baptism truly is an outward sign. When you get baptized in water, it's a tremendous show. It's a tremendous example. It is a tremendous statement that you're making to say, hi, everybody, I'm going to follow Jesus now. You can't get half baptized. You can't baptize just this leg and leave the rest. It just doesn't happen, right? You're just all in or you're all out. That's it. And baptism is where you want to invite all your mates. We're not ashamed of this Christian life. We're excited about telling the whole world, amen, that Jesus is alive. Oh, that was just a weak amen. Anyway, I'm sure you were half asleep when I said that. Come on. It is such a joy to declare our salvation to people.
Amen.
Amen. Because he is alive in us. And we live in this crazy world here in Australia where Christianity is being attacked from all sides, and it needs some really bold Christians to stand up and say, I love Jesus, and I'm going to follow him. And I tell you what, the church is on the rise in Australia. It's not full of cream puff Christians who are hiding away, hoping for the second coming. The Church of the Living God is marching on to declare victory and to rise up in faith. Amen. Yeah. To be bold for God. To declare God is alive. To declare that you love Jesus. And baptism in water is one of those great declaration moments. So why get baptized in water? So you can tell the whole world that you're a Christ follower. So you can tell the whole world, I'm going to serve Jesus. It's free advertising. Free advertising. You can invite as many as you like. The more people you invite, the more coffee we'll give them and something to eat, and we'll celebrate. Bring them all in here. Fill this place up. It's going to be great. You know, it's one of the most important aspects of your entry to Christian life. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter has been preaching on the day of Pentecost. It is like the birth of the church. The first day that the Holy Spirit has come en masse to a whole lot of believers. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then they spread out into the streets and they're all speaking in tongues. And everybody that was there on the day were people that had come from many different nations. It was the feast time of Israel, the feast of Pentecost. It was the time of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And people had come in from what we now know as Turkey and North Africa and Eastern towards Iran, Iraq. All these areas had all come to Jerusalem for the feast. And as the disciples spread out from the upper room, they're all speaking the languages of the people from many different nations. They all heard them. They said, wow, how do these guys know our languages? They are declaring the mighty works of God. And as they began to speak those words, Peter then preached a great message to them. And he shared with them about how Jesus had come and he'd been crucified and risen on the third day, and that he is the Messiah, and that we're to believe on him and trust in him. And as the people are listening to the preaching of Peter, the first great gospel sermon ever preached, and Peter's full of the Holy Spirit and he's full of boldness, and he's declaring to thousands of people there, this is why you see this miracle of languages and these people who appear to be drunk, but it's only the third hour of the day. It is because the Holy Spirit has come and you need to hear about Jesus. And these people, it says that they were cut to the heart. And that means that they were truly convicted. The words pierced through, not just hitting the head, hitting the heart. And oh, how we want this in our church, don't we? We want not just information and understanding and thoughts and wisdom, but when we come to church, we want the heart changed. We want God to speak to our heart. We want it to be impacted by the Word of God. That's what I love for. That's what I pray for. That's what the ministry team gets together to plan and to pray and to seek God for. To say, God, change us as people of God. Amen. I want to encourage you, come to church with this heart that says, God, I want to hear from you. I need to open my heart and speak to me, God, because church is for supernatural stuff. And our preaching is never aimed at the head. It's aimed at the heart. It's that the heart be changed. And the head is important. We don't leave it out, but we aim at the heart. Amen. And so, why get baptized? It is an important step to your new beginning, your new life in Christ. And as Peter was about to preach this message, and he says these words in Acts 2:38, he says, repent, change your views, purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three important steps, amen? Entrance into the life of a powerful Christian. Firstly, repent, turn away from your old life. The life that I lived before I met Christ was serving me, doing what I want to do, being selfish, my life living without any reference to God. And I came to Christ. I turned away from those things. And I said, I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I want to know you. I want you to take hold of my life. Number two, be baptized in water. And we'll talk a minute about how that changes us. And number three, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Three important steps to entering into a victorious Christian life. And I pray today that if you've had one or two or three or whatever, but you keep going and take hold of all that God has for you as a believer. And I think in the church today, right across every denomination, There's probably many people that are baptized in water, but maybe not so many are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Perhaps some have been saved, given the heart of Jesus, but never been through the waters of baptism. And yet there's so much on offer to us through the water of baptism. So much life change can take place. And you can get to heaven without it, but you get to heaven with a rocky road on the way through. You get to heaven with having to endure some stuff that you shouldn't have to endure, because water baptism sets you free from the old life and brings you through to victory in many areas. Listen to me today. If you've never been baptized in water since you believed, I pray today that God would convict your heart and you'd say, I want to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism. So why get baptized? It is an important step in the beginning of your new life in Christ. So let's turn now to Romans 6. It is the best passage to really understand about water baptism. And I'd love you to look at it with me. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to read the whole six verses and then sort of pull it apart for you so you understand what the Bible's teaching here. Now, when Paul speaks in Romans here, it's some time after the resurrection of Jesus and he's ascended back to heaven. So the baptism of the Gospels is John's baptism. Later on in the book of Acts, we see they're baptizing people in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that baptism is this one now that Paul is expounding on, the real meaning of water baptism. Not just for the remission of sins, as in John's baptism, and the changing of your life, but now the power of God coming on you. Okay, so let's read it here. It says this: what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. We know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves of sin. This is a wonderful revelation that Paul brings to us today. The revelation actually starts in verse 6. It says, your old man, your old unrenewed self was nailed up onto the cross in Jesus. You see, in God's economy, God looks from the beginning of time to the end of time, and he sees all his plan laid out. And when Jesus went to the cross, God placed in him all our sins. Amen? Every man, every woman, every child, every nation, from the year dot to the year 20-something-something when Jesus comes back again. Are you ready? So our old life, when I came to Jesus and I said, Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn away from it and I give my life to you. A transaction took place. At that moment, I was born again. My spirit was recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus. And at that moment, I was officially allowed to accept and proclaim and declare my old Craig Anderson life is now in Christ on that cross. The old Craig Anderson is a dirty, rotten, scumbag person, was nailed up there on the cross with Jesus. Jesus died and I died. Now, if you say to a dead man, hey, mate, would you like some drugs? What's he going to say? Would you like a smoke, mate? How about some porn? He just lays there, right, motionless. That's the old man. The old Craig Anderson, dead. So what do you do with dead bodies, folks? Don't tell me cremation. We bury the dead bodies, right? In verse 3 there it says, "Do you not know that when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism? Jesus died and you died. Jesus was buried in the tomb. They rolled the stone across and you were buried in the waters of baptism." And then something happened. When Jesus was in the tomb, he was 3 days and three nights in the tomb. We don't hold you down that long in the water of baptism. He was 3 days and three nights in the tomb, but it says the glory of God came and raised up Christ from the dead. His physical body suffered no decay. And his spirit, though his body was in the tomb, it never moved. His spirit went down into hell, took the keys of death and hell off Satan, overcame death and hell, preached to the captives, and that preaches a declaration word saying, "Now I have authority and I am going to start my kingdom on earth." And then as the glory of God came, raised up that body of Jesus and he came to life again. And he walked out of that tomb. The angels rolled the stone away, didn't have to worry about doing that. And he walked out and the first person he saw was Mary Magdalene. And she looks at him and she goes, "Master." And he says to her, "Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended to my Father." And he then ascended bodily to heaven, took his blood before the throne of God in the heavenly of heavenlies. All through Hebrews, it talks about what happened. And then he came back to earth and he walked into the room where his disciples, and now he says, "Touch me. Touch me." And he was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. And now Jesus can walk through walls. He can be in one place 1 minute and another place another minute. He's a resurrected, glorious Son of God. And you know what? He still has this physical body. Do you realize that the human form has entered the Godhead? That when you and I see Jesus in heaven one day and see him face to face, we'll look at his hands and we'll see the prints of the nails. If he was able to show us his side, we'd see the hole there where the spear went in. His physical body is now eternal in the heavens forever. Humanity has entered the Godhead. Too wonderful for us to comprehend. Jesus died and you died. Jesus was buried and you were buried. Jesus was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Even so, you will rise in newness of life and habitually walk in newness of life, it tells us through those verses. You know what? When you get baptized in water, it's true. The glory of God comes upon you and it raises you to newness of life. How exciting is that? Well, you might be saying, "Why should I get baptized?" You should get baptized so that the glory of God comes upon you. Why would you say no to that? So how does water baptism help me now? Maybe you got baptized 50 years ago. That's okay. Baptism is still an important and powerful truth that enables you to live today better than if you had never been baptized. And I want you to look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, and we'll see a great teaching there about water baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, and starting at verse 19. Speaking about Jesus, says, "In which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, the souls of those who long before the days of Noah had been disobedient, when God's patience waited during the building of the ark, in which a few people, actually eight in number, were saved through water, and baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questionings and fears, not by the removing of the outward body or filth by bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, an inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter is preaching here and he's saying, look at Noah in the ark. It's a picture of water baptism. You know, when you went to Sunday school, they used to have flannel graph, right? Here's a picture of Adam and Eve, and here's a picture of a lion in the Garden of Eden. Here's the picture of the tree of life, and you'd stick them all on. Well, this story is saying water baptism is like that. It's a picture of something that's being revealed as truth later on. So the ark represents Jesus Christ. And God said at the time of Noah, because the earth was filled with corruption, I'm going to send rain and it's judgment. And everybody who's righteous can go into the ark, and everybody was invited and the animals went in. And God then sent the rain as judgment against an unrighteous world. You notice in the ark had three levels. If you understand the ark and study it, there were three different levels. And that represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The top level had windows, which represents the light that the Holy Spirit brings to our life. And so Noah and his children and wives went into the ark. They were righteous before God. They went in and the ark was shut, the door was shut, and the rain came, and they were carried up on the water in the ark, safe from judgment. Water baptism is the same picture. We are now in Christ. We are safe in Him. And as judgment comes upon the earth, it means that we're safe in Christ and we're carried up on the water, and the water separates us who are in Christ from the ungodliness of this world. The water creates a separation. So how it works in our day-to-day life is this. I'm driving down the road, someone cuts me off, and I think, like, you dirty, rotten scumbag. I'm going to get you. And suddenly we remember, hang on a second, I'm a Christian. The old Craig Anderson wants to do something untoward. But suddenly I remember, hey, I buried that sucker, didn't I? I buried that guy in the waters of baptism. That isn't me. What's in me? Jesus is in me. Jesus, do you want to do something bad to that guy? No, no, I love him. He's actually on his way to hospital to see his dying father. Oh, man, I didn't know that. I should help him. You see, when we realize who we are now born after Jesus Christ. We're now full of the Holy Spirit. We're now a new creation, are we not? The old man has been crucified. He is now buried. That's the end of him. And as I acknowledge what has happened in water baptism, it has power now through my faith to set me free from temptation, to set me free from the old man who tries to pull me back and say, come back to the old life. It was so good. Remember Egypt? Remember the garlic and the leeks? All that yummy stuff? I won't tell you about whipping and violence and all that stuff. But the old man, he tries to pull us back, doesn't he? To live the old life. But no more. We now live a new life in Christ. We've been raised up by the glory of God. We're now a new creation, fully filled and formed like Jesus. Just remember what happened on your water baptism. Apply your faith to the truth of what actually happened, and it gives you power to say, like it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, now I have power over sin. How shall I live any longer in it? How exciting that you can be set free from the power of sin. Why should I get baptized? Because it helps you in your daily walk. You know what? It's a believer's baptism. Maybe you're saying, I was baptized as a baby. I'm cool. When you get baptized as a baby, it's just like baby dedication. It's your mum and dad saying, God, we ask you to watch over our child, protect it, and bless his child. But one day, that child needs to make their own decision for Christ. Following Jesus is you and I repenting, amen? It's a decision we make. And baptism follows that in every story in the New Testament. The reason people baptize babies is because of church tradition. And right back, I'm talking about back to the 3rd century AD, when the Romans took on Christianity as the national religion. They would conquer a nation and they would drive them through the river at the point of the sword and say, that is your baptism. You are now Christians. There was no life change. There was no decision to follow Christ. There was no revelation of sin and death. There was just an activity that took place. And so it became, this is how you get into the church. You just get baptized in water. And people fearful that their children would not go to heaven if they died young, baptized their babies thinking this will get them to heaven. But babies go to heaven, folks, because of the mercy of God, not because of water. Baptism is to bury the old life and you need to die first. Amen? So if you've never been baptized in water since you believed, I want to encourage you, get baptized in water. Mark 16, verse 16 says, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be damned. You can get to heaven without it, but it's so important that it's put there right together with salvation. Those that have believed and are baptized shall be saved. Amen. God is good. Sometimes people will say, yeah, but it's cold. You know, the water's cold. No, we heat it up. Other people will say, no, it's embarrassing. I couldn't get baptized in water. You know, see, somebody might see my legs. Friends, let's put away every embarrassment, every reason, every thought other than to follow Jesus in the waters of baptism. On the seats all around the auditorium, there are little cards, and there's a decision card. Maybe some of you this morning would say, I want to be baptized in water. And I'd love you to take that card and fill it out with your name, phone number, email, and tick the box that says, I would like to be baptized in water. If that's you, would you do that right away? If you need a pen, somebody will give you one nearby, or you can hold up your hand, and Ken Cook will go and get pens for everybody. And thank you, Ken, because I forgot to tell you about that before. Amen. Make a decision today to be baptized in water if that has never happened for you before. Maybe it sounds like I'm trying to talk you into it. I'm trying to preach you into it this morning. I'm endeavoring to bring revelation from the Word of God that will change your life and give you blessing and set you free and give you the opportunities that happened for all those who were following Jesus in those early years in the book of Acts. You might say, I can't get baptized next Sunday, I'm away, or I want to wait a little bit of time, but you'd still like to get baptized. Fill it in anyway and put a date on it, or tell me later what date you'd like, or you might just like to put on your card, not next week, but next time we can baptize you. We can do it any week, actually. We just bring our tank in from outside, we place it down near the front of the stage here. We fill it up with nice cold water, and then we heat the water up. Amen. Amen. That's all right. Don't bring any soap, please. And next Sunday morning, following the morning service, we'll baptize people. And if there's anybody at night being baptized, we'll do it at night as well. So you can come morning or night and get baptized next week, or any other week should you choose to do so. Now, if you are getting baptized in water, please invite everybody you know. Everybody. Say, come and watch me get baptized. It's a life-changing experience. I want you to be there to see it. And God will do something great in their hearts. We'll preach an awesome message that will really touch their hearts with God's love. So please take one of those cards. And if you want to be baptized, please fill it out today. And once you've filled it out, just give us a wave and Ken will come by and pick it up from you. And we're going to close our service right now. If our music team is able to come, that would be fantastic to have them back on the platform. So we do one final song before we finish. If you'd like to know more about Jesus, have a talk to us. We'd like to share with you about Alpha so that you can follow Jesus. If you'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, please come to the front. We'd love to pray for you later on, and you could receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you need a miracle or a healing or whatever, also we can pray for you following the service right down the front here, and God will touch your life in a powerful way. How about we stand up together?